You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
It's Big Ten tournament season, and we bring you up to speed on Michigan hockey and men's and women's basketball, plus some off-field news for the Michigan football program. That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here. Tuesday morning, March 12th, as we are in the midst of a Big Ten tournament season. Some of these programs we're going to be discussing are done. Some are about to start. Some are in the middle of the action. Let's start there with the latter, with the Michigan hockey team, which is coming off a sweep of Notre Dame in to start the Big Ten tournament this past weekend. It was actually funny. I was at Chrysler for the basketball game on Sunday, and I've got bookmarked the Michigan Live stats page so I can go in and get the stats as the game is going, and it's just the initial page shows all the Michigan things for that weekend, and it had Michigan hockey versus Notre Dame for upcoming, like for that day Sunday, and I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I saw Zook wrote that they won and swept. Is this like a best of five that he didn't realize or something? But just a glitch that I guess they had as a placeholder. So yeah, tell us how it went down for Michigan and kind of what it means for them going forward.
Yeah, I mean, first, what it means that they're probably going to extend their NCAA tournament streak to four seasons now. So that's the main thing. They had been on the bubble now for quite a bit, and they've won five of six to almost not secure their NCAA tournament their berth. But I mean, they're at 99.6% right now, according to the College Hockey News probability matrix. So they would need a lot to happen, plus losing to Minnesota in the semis for them to not make it. So that's the most important thing. But yeah, I mean, what a entertaining weekend of hockey at Yost. I mean, both games had a little bit of everything. For Michigan, there was 2 one-goal wins, which is big. 5-4 on Friday, 4-3 on Saturday. And yeah, they might have solved their third period woes. I mean, they've had struggles in the third period all year, but didn't allow a third period goal in either game. They overcame a 4-3 deficit after 2 on Friday, then scored the game winner early in the third on Saturday. So a lot to like about their third periods. Only allowed 14 total shots in the final 20 minutes of both games. So they need to shore things up in the third, and it looks like they did that, at least against Notre Dame. And to be honest, they might have gotten a little bit lucky on a couple of calls, or fortunate on a couple of calls. Notre Dame was called for 2 5-minute or a 5-minute major on both nights, and on Friday night they scored on the first 12 seconds of a 5-on-3 in the third to tie it, and scored later on the 5-minute power play to take the lead. And then also had a 5-minute power play on Saturday as well. On some calls, it's crazy to see how college hockey has changed. I mean, there's 5-minute majors seemingly every night in the Big Ten, and it's kind of getting ridiculous. Like, I get player safety, but like, just completely different from when I played, and it didn't seem like either of the calls really warranted to be 5-minute majors. But Michigan took advantage and is moving on.
So this locks up, but puts them in great position for an NCAA tournament bid, but they're still trying to win this Big Ten tournament, and they'll go to Minnesota this weekend. But as we discussed before we started recording, that is just, that's a one game series now at this point.
Yeah, semifinals and finals are both single elimination, and yeah, they're heading to the location where they have won the past two Big Ten tournaments, but this year will be in the Big Ten semis. They've actually played pretty well at Minnesota in recent years, and as we know, I mean, Minnesota has been a very dominant team like Michigan in recent years. So yeah, they just faced each other a couple weeks ago. They closed the regular season. They split that series. Michigan was blown out in the opener 6-2, I think. Didn't play very well. And then, yeah, that Saturday was one of the craziest third periods they've had all year. I mean, they were up 3-0 heading into the third, in complete control of the game. And then kind of the wheels fell off, allowed 5 third period goals, and they went into overtime before kind of recovering in overtime with the power play goal to win. But it's just, it was kind of like a microcosm of their season. Like they show spurts of just being a dominant team, and then they have these lapses where it has cost them games. So if they can avoid that, they're a very dangerous team. And I don't think many teams would want to play them in the NCAA tournament. Like I've said, I mean, they have enough game breakers on this team to really make a run. It's just a matter of playing a full 60 minutes, and they overall play pretty well against Notre Dame, and they'll look to continue that at Minnesota as well.
So what's your feeling? 60 minutes, one game. I mean, what do you think about, what do you think against Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, it's still on the road, and Minnesota obviously lost a couple of their top guys that reached the NCAA championship last year. But I mean, just like Michigan, they have they stock up every year with high round draft picks. I'd probably say Michigan's chances are at about 40-45%, probably closer to 40%. I mean, it's hard. Minnesota's a tough place to play. They swept Penn State in their first round series. Goaltending event, I'd probably maybe give it a little bit to Minnesota. But yeah, I mean, it should be, I wouldn't be surprised either way what happens. Now, it could get interesting if Michigan State now plays Wisconsin, plays Ohio State, which upset number 2 seed Wisconsin to play in the other semifinal. I assume Michigan State will win that. And, it could be a Michigan State, matchup for the Big Ten championship, which would be, pretty wild. Just, I mean, given the state of the rivalry this year, and I know Michigan, I asked Brandon Nerado after the game, if he had like any rooting interest for who they play in this, in the next round. He's like, no, I just want to go to Munn at some point. I mean, there's definitely some, a rival that rivalry is kind of being, ignited again, and it would be quite the scene to see, both those teams play for, a Big Ten title. But yeah, first things first this Saturday, both semifinals, and we'll see what happens from there.
All right, so Michigan hockey in good place for an NCAA tournament bid. So is the Michigan women's basketball team. They went to Minneapolis last week and, you know, did well, did what they kind of needed to do. They beat Minnesota in their first game, which was just, as we talked about on last week's podcast, you know, avoiding a bad loss. And then, you know, could really use another quality win. And it looked like they maybe weren't going to get it against Indiana. They're down 17 early in the third quarter of that game. But then they just turned it on. I mean, Layla Filia was fantastic, a career high 30 points. You know, they end up winning 69-56, you know, for that second half. They really looked like a team that could beat, you know, almost anyone in the country. You know, they've been pretty good defensively all year. And then, you know, to find the offense with Filia and knocking down 3-point shots, Lauren Hansen and Jordan Hobbs providing most of that. That was an impressive game. You know, I don't know if it's just their legs or Iowa being Iowa, but you know, the next day things didn't go so well. They hung with Iowa, you know, for a stretch. They actually were up 7 or 8 points in the first quarter of that game, just caught fire from three. They hit their first 6, Michigan did. But that's not really, you don't want to get into a, you know, track meet and a shootout with Iowa. And, you know, Iowa just kept going and Michigan didn't. Yeah, and they end up, you know, kind of getting blown out, you know, late in that game in the semis. But, you know, the NCAA tournament outlook is good. Michigan now, they got 20 wins. Not that that's a, a you know, prerequisite for getting in or anything like that. But at ESPN, NBC, and Her Hoop Stats, which do brackets, Michigan is a 10 seed in all of them currently. They've all updated since Michigan's win, or since the Big Ten tournament ended, I should say. And yeah, ESPN and Her Hoop Stats both have them as in Austin, actually, with the 2 seed Texas. I'm sure we've probably discussed this before. You guys can attest to this too. Like, it's sometimes better to be maybe a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament than an 8 or a 9, you know, because obviously your second round game then, if you win, is against a 2 seed instead of a 1. And, you know, if you're looking at who those 2 seeds are, I mean, or really who those 1 seeds are, you know, do you want to play South Carolina in the second game? You do not. Or, you know, one of those Pac-12 teams, potentially Stanford or USC, like, no, you maybe rather would take your chances against, you know, a team like Texas. So that's not necessarily a bad spot, you know, for Michigan to be in.
Didn't they win as a 10 seed a few years ago? Michigan did. And then they faced like number 2 seed Baylor at some point, or maybe I'm remembering wrong.
Yeah, no, I think that year, I'm trying to think, they had to beat Tennessee first. Let's see. I think Tennessee was maybe the 3. Yeah, Michigan was like the 6. They won their first game and then they upset Tennessee in Knoxville. And then they played, they got to the Sweet 16 and then they lost to Baylor, I think, in overtime. I think that's what it was. And then they beat them next year in the regular season, and then got to the Elite 8. You know, that was the year you were there at the, when they won and then, you know, lost to, Louisville, right?
Yes.
We're there covering that. Yeah. Yep, so
in good old Wichita.
Yeah. So I think that was the year that they.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. In the year before that, Northern Colorado, they beat in the first round and then lost in the second round to number 2 Baylor in Waco.
Right. Yeah.
All
right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. In overtime, I think. But yeah, they definitely have beaten, I think it was the 3 seed Tennessee that they beat that 1 year. Anyway, yeah, it's helpful. It's helpful for sure.
The moral of the story is you don't want to be the 8-9 seed.
Yeah, exactly. That's a tough. Yeah.
Going back memory lane here.
But yeah, I did email Charlie Cream, the ESPN, you know, bracket guy for the women's side. You know, I saw that he obviously had him in, and, you know, whether there are any bid stealers to look at. And he said, nothing to worry about for Michigan. There are a few potential bid stealers, but not enough to hurt Michigan. So he believes they are safely in. You know, there'll still be some, there's no guarantee. There'll be some, you know, they'll be watching, you know, somewhat nervously, I'm sure, on Sunday. But yeah, they look to be in pretty good shape. The Michigan men, they play in the first night of the Big Ten tournament on Wednesday, in the second game of the night, the last place, so they're the 14th seed. They'll play 11 seed Penn State at, you know, approximately 9 p.m. Eastern time. Again, they're the second game. The first one's at, you know, 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 local. So they figure that takes you to 8:30. It's 25 minutes after, so something like that, in the 8:45 to, you know, 9:15 range. Yeah, the Big Ten tournament, first one with 14 teams in this league was in 2015. You know, Michigan has never played on the Wednesday until this year, but so it goes. Yeah, they will, again, they'll play Penn State, who they met up once this year. That's back on January 7th, the day before the national championship for football. We were all in Houston. I watched it in my hotel room there. That game was in Philadelphia. It was at the Palestra, but, you know, a home game for Penn State still, even if not in there on campus. Michigan had a 10-point halftime lead that they gave away in impressively quick fashion and lost 79-73. If you remember, that was back when Michigan was still good enough to have halftime leads that they could then blow. Eventually, then they stopped even getting up at half. Yeah, this Penn State team is certainly different than it was. You know, they're one of their key players has been hurt now for, you know, a few weeks, so he's not playing. So they have you know, changed things a little bit, but you know, still been overall kind of just up and down. They're, you know, 9-11. They're in this game for a reason in the Big Ten. Yeah, and that's Michigan's draw here. Saadi Washington, assistant coach, was on you know, the Michigan basketball radio show last night. He said all the usual stuff about, you know, this is a new season. And, you know, that first game is always the toughest. If you can get by the first game, then you can get some momentum. You know, he said they're packing clothes, enough clothes for Sunday. You know, they hope to get down to their last pair of socks and all that. You know, one of the hosts said that, you know, he really liked Michigan's path. You know, he thought it was, you know, with Penn State, and then it'd be 6-seed Indiana next, and then, you know, 3-seed Nebraska. I mean, I agree that like a good team wouldn't fear that path, but like, look at the efficiency margins in the Big Ten. So like, this is, hopefully I'm not going to get too far into the weeds here for some of our listeners, but you know, like, points per possession instead of points per game, just because teams play at different paces. You know, Michigan was second worst, you know, offensive team in Big Ten games, in their 20 Big Ten games, and the worst, you know, defensively by a lot. So like, when you add it all up, like over 100 possessions, you know, Purdue's at the top, they're outscoring teams by like 15 points. Okay. Illinois is at 10. Then there's a pretty good, there's a pretty good gap, and a lot of the teams are sort of bunched up there, from Nebraska at 3 down to Indiana at 12. You're either 4 points better than average or 4 points below. Okay. Then you get to Rutgers, 8 points below. Then you get to Michigan at 17 points below in 100 possessions. So it's like just a sizable gap to Rutgers at 13, and then a monster gap to Michigan at 14. So they're not just like the worst team in the Big Ten. They've been the worst by a lot. You know, they're 4 games back in the, you know, in the standings of Rutgers as well there. So yeah, I guess all of that is to say, sure, it looks like a, you know, a winnable path, but like, Michigan hasn't proven that they can win these games most of the year.
So Michigan at 350-1 is not a good bet to win the Big Ten tournament.
There's no way it's 350-1, is it? 35-1, maybe?
No, like $1 would win you $350.
Oh my gosh.
If Michigan wins the tournament. That's how. Yeah.
That sounds about right. I mean, remember, they're the 14th seed, right? Like,
yeah. I guess I just didn't realize for 14, you know, it's still just, I mean, it's 5 games. Yes, I'm not saying that 35-1 makes sense either. I wouldn't have thought any team would be that big, but yeah, wow.
5 game. Remember, 5 games in 5 days too. There's no break here.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Michigan winning one game. Like, I could see them beating Penn State, but to ask them to win more than one, I think is a big, big ask here. I mean, just looking at this bracket, I don't know. I do think there might be a team here that could make a run. Like, Indiana is appealing to me. I know they're only the 6th seed, but they're playing better basketball of late, and their pass seems a little better. But like, I don't know. I mean, I don't see Purdue losing this thing either. So I don't know.
How many teams from the Big Ten do you think will make the NCAA tournament, Andrew?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think in the end, 6 it looks like. But I mean, I'm all for, I know I cover, obviously, Big Ten. I cover Michigan, a major conference program, but I'm always for the little guy in, you know, for these last few NCAA tournament at-large bids. So, like, you know, Indiana State lost in their conference tournament. Like, I'd rather see them in than one of these other Big Ten teams. But, like, Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin seem like locks. That's 5. Michigan State, I don't know. Is it like a rule that like Tom Izzo has to be in the NCAA tournament? Maybe it is. So like they seem to be in at 6. Like, honestly, look at their resume. It's not that impressive. Like, they beat Baylor, you know, in Detroit. And then like in the Big Ten, they've got home wins over Illinois and Northwestern. So those are 2, you know, NCAA tournament teams. Like, that's it, you know, for their resume against NCAA tournament teams. I guess Oakland, did they win the other night? Were they in? Let me see. Let me check. Yeah, they're still alive.
They're playing for the championship tonight.
There you go. So, you know, they could have that win too. But yeah, I think they could certainly, they want to win their first game, and it's against, you know, Minnesota in Minneapolis. But they would be the 6. I know Iowa is like potentially a fringe bubble team, but I don't think, you know, unless they make a serious run here, that they'll get in. So yeah, I think 6 is probably the number that we settle at.
Andrew, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but aside from Purdue and maybe Illinois, the two obvious choices in the Big Ten, looking at this tournament bracket, is there another team that you think could make a run and win this thing?
I like Nebraska a lot in the, you know, the NCAA tournament for sure. You know, there'll be a, you know, a higher seed that I think maybe could, you know, pull off an upset or two. So with that being said, yeah, I like them, you know, in this thing too. But you know, it's, you understand why, yes, these top two teams, as I mentioned when I was, you know, listing off just those stats, like, you know, they're Purdue and Illinois kind of, you know, head and shoulders above the rest so far. But yeah, I mean, I certainly like, you know, Nebraska's, you know, draw. They'd be getting the sixth seed, potentially Indiana before, you know, playing, you know, Illinois maybe in that next round. So yeah, that would be my third team. They're the third seed, so I guess that's no surprise there. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. Again, I don't know how long I'll be sticking around there in Minneapolis. Because yeah, Michigan absolutely could win a game. Penn State is not, you know, anything, you know, super impressive. But you know, again, Michigan was 3-17 in the Big Ten, and while some of those games were played without Doug McDaniel, you know, many of them were played with Olivier Kamwa, who's no longer, you know, suiting up for Michigan, and they've, you know, they've only looked worse since he's been out. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but expectations not super high.
When's the last time anyone said they liked Nebraska in any sort of tournament setting for basketball?
This is true. It has certainly been a while. Fred Hoiberg and, you know, Juwan Howard both in their fifth seasons, and yeah, one's got, you know, his team kind of, you know, trending up, and obviously the other, you know, going the other way. So, you know, that'll be more the story at when Michigan season ends, is of course then the official start of the off season and, you know, all the questions that need to be answered. So I'll hope to, you know, if I can't answer the questions, at least ask them, you know, on MLive.com/Wolverines here in the coming days and weeks. Said we've got some football news as well off the field, so let's get to that. The defensive staff now is official. They, you know, just put out a press release announcing that whole you know, staff on that side of the ball. Aaron, was there any actual news there, or it was just, you know, the names that you'd already reported on becoming official?
Yeah, no actual news. I mean, these were names we had heard about, you know, for weeks, and in the case of Wink Martindale, almost a month. It just took a while for Michigan to formalize it. You know, there are background checks going on and the like. You know, I was under the impression they're going to announce them one by one, but they decided to just announce them as a group. So, you know, it is what it is. Schromor's defensive staff is in place. Again, no surprise given some of these names that have either been reported elsewhere were reported by us. You know, Wink Martindale is the new defensive coordinator. Lamar Morgan is the new defensive backs coach. Brian Jean-Marie is the linebackers coach. Greg Scruggs is the defensive line coach. So, announced late last week. I think it was Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, or Friday. So that is in place. There's one missing piece right now at this point on the staff, and it's on the offensive side of the ball at running back with Mike Hart. There's a lot of unknown with Mike going back to last week, whether he was going to come back, whether he was not going to come back. His contract had expired in January, so he was working on a no deal. And it was reported elsewhere that he has decided not to return. We don't have a whole lot of details at this point. I don't know if it was actually Mike's decision or it was a mutual decision, or Sharon just simply didn't want him on the staff. That remains unclear at this point. But what is clear is Mike Hart will not be an assistant coach at Michigan next year. So that leaves one hole right now that Sharon still needs to fill. You know, they are set to start spring practice next Monday, March 18th, so in 6 days. So he's going to have to make a quick decision here. And even if he does make a hire this week, which is certainly possible, given the background check and everything, I don't know if that coach will be in place by the time spring practice gets going. So one more hire to make, but everything else seems to be set for Sharon and his first coaching staff.
Let's talk about Mike Hart a little bit here. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, here was a guy who didn't want to talk to the media immediately after the national championship victory. I don't know if he was, you know, upset about not you know, being one of the interim head coaches at one point. I mean, he was for a half of a game, but, you know, not an entire game, and obviously not the guy at the end of the year when Harbaugh was suspended a second time. That was Sherrone Moore. You know, it is interesting. Was he just, yeah, unhappy at Michigan or what? But then the flip side of that is that obviously Michigan's success over these last few years has been predicated on their strong running game, and that's not solely Mike Hart's doing, but gee, you figure he had to play a big role. He coached the running backs, and the running backs were pretty darn good.
Yeah, and he was also run game coordinator the last couple of years, so he did have a say in some of the usage and some of the, you know, some of the plays they were running and everything else. So I think in a way, from an on-field perspective, production, success, I think Mike maybe flew under the radar a little bit. You remember, I mean, he was around, he helped, you know, turn Hassan Haskins into an All-American back in 21. He helped turn Blake Corum into an All-American back the last couple of years. So from a development perspective, I think Mike did a good job. You know, he's a star running back. He knows the position very well and everything else. Where he maybe struggled a little bit was in the recruiting trail. Because if you go back to some of those names I just mentioned, like a Haskins, like a Corum, those are both Jay Harbaugh recruits. Mike had nothing to do with bringing them to Michigan. They were already here when he got here. He didn't even recruit Donovan Edwards either. So, his recruits that he was responsible for, if you go down the list here, CJ Stokes, we saw him a little bit. He kind of disappointed, and then he transferred out. And then you got a couple guys where the jury is still out on, right? Like Cole Cabana and Benjamin Hall. Then he brought in two more names this year for this 2024 class in Marshall and Capania. So recruiting perspective, I think and Ryan, you could probably speak to this better than I can, but I do think maybe there was something missing there in the recruiting trail. But from an on-field perspective, you can't doubt the success. I mean, he was tasked with coaching and developing the running backs. He did that. They were highly successful, and Michigan was highly successful running the ball while he was here.
Well, I mean, some fans might argue that the development of Donovan Edwards wasn't what they hoped this year, but yeah, I mean, he's still young, and I mean, obviously he'll be back for his junior year, but yeah, I think as far as the recruiting chops, that was probably one of his biggest downfalls. I think Jordan Marshall is an elite prospect. I think he's a very intriguing prospect. A top 100 recruit out of Ohio is a pretty big get for the Wolverines, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a lot as a freshman too. But yeah, outside of that, the Tavier Dunlops and the CJ Stokes, and I mean, yeah, Cole Cabana, Benjamin Hall. Benjamin Hall at the spring game last year, but I mean, he was still a recruit ranked outside the top 700, I believe. So you would think with the way that they run the ball and the success they've had, that landing top running back recruits would be a slam dunk, and that really hasn't been the case. And I think Steve Klinkstale being from Ohio potentially helped a little bit too in the Jordan Marshall recruitment. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of late in the ball game to be searching for a new coach at that position, especially because they lean so heavily on the run game. But I can't say I'm that surprised that Michigan's going in a different direction.
Meanwhile, we did learn a particular player is coming back that maybe we thought was going to leave, and that's Quentin Johnson, a defensive back coming back for good old sixth season of college football. That's the not the norm now, but that's not unheard of anymore. Yeah, what's the news on Johnson, and why is this good news for Michigan?
Yeah, another COVID situation here where he was around during that 2020 season, so it doesn't count against him. This is a little confusing situation because I think Ryan reported back in February, but Quentin originally declared for the NFL draft. Now it was a late decision. It came, again, I think early February, long after a lot of these guys made those decisions. So at that point, it was a little head-scratching. Why wait? And why do it then? And then he didn't get an invite to the combine, and you didn't hear his name a whole lot. So I think the decision decided to turn at that point. It's my understanding he did not hire an agent. He obviously didn't show up at the combine. So as long as that stuff doesn't happen, you don't take any you know, financial benefits to declaring for the NFL that you can return, as long as you have eligibility. And he does. He still has a year left because of that COVID season. So he is back. I've confirmed that with a Michigan team spokesman. Monday night, car dealership group up in Flint decided to announced that they had inked a NIL deal with Quentin. So it certainly gives Michigan another piece, you know, in the defensive back room. I don't know if there's a spot for him necessarily to start right away. But you know, there will be opportunities for him to play. You know, he's a safety. Michigan is bringing back both their starting safeties in Rod Moore and Makari Page. Perhaps maybe they feel like they can use him at nickel. But you know, nonetheless, I mean, Quentin is an experienced guy. I mean, as I said, this is going to be a sixth season. He's played almost more than 40 games over his 4 years. You know, he hasn't started a ton, but he's played quite a bit, especially the last 2 years. And he really came on as the season, went on last year. He had his first career interception. He forced a fumble against Alabama in the Rose Bowl. So there were some moments where you could see the light bulb went on for him. So I think it's certainly a welcome addition for Michigan. They'll take him. It gives them more depth in the defensive back room. I don't know how much he's going to play or whether or not he's going to start, but it's certainly another piece for the puzzle back there.
Yeah, I saw that announcement on social media last night, and it was one of those what the bleep moments. I'm like, I thought you declared for the NFL draft, dude, and then he's coming back. But yeah, like it never seemed like he was going to be one of the guys that was going to be generating a lot of NFL interest anyway. So if you have another year remaining and can cash in a little bit with NIL, why not return and see if you can improve your stock a little bit more with the sixth season? So. I think he could have a bigger role than people think. I mean, even with all the defensive backs they had last year and with Keon Sabb there, I mean, he still played more than 20 snaps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. So, I mean, he's definitely an important role player. I mean, he played 37 snaps against Alabama in the Rose Bowl. So that's quite a bit against a team like that. So I think Michigan trusts him. He knows the system. He's a veteran presence. And yeah, I don't think it's a game breaking move, but I think it will definitely help to have another body in the secondary when they have lost some key pieces.
Yeah. I love the car dealership thing. I mean, it's just not that long ago that, that type of thing would be, you'd hear whispers about, got a car from there. That we all know that's the guy that's paying the football players. And now it can just be right out there in the open there in a, photo shared on publicly available website. I love it. That kind of wraps up the latest football news on the Michigan side of things. We said there's basketball team men's playing on Wednesday night in the Big Ten tournament. Sunday is the selection show for men and women. Only one of those relevant, for Michigan this year. And, the hockey team will play Saturday night in the Big Ten tournament semifinals at Minnesota. Thanks for listening. And you can read more on MLive.com/Wolverines.